Well, good morning, New Hope.
Good morning.
Man, what an amazing song we just worship. Come as you are. That's God. God will take us just like we are. And we are so grateful that we can come to him. That song just touched my heart, so it hit me hard today. Well, let me welcome everyone watching us online, on Facebook, on our YouTube, or hearing us on a podcast. Yes, thank you for tuning in. And man, it's so good to hear and see all of your beautiful faces today. You guys are beautiful, by the way. Next week is going to be a little bit different here at New Hope. If you haven't yet asked your question, we are answering questions. Pastor Rusty and I are going to be answering your questions about faith. So if you haven't yet submitted your question, there's a card in front of you that you can grab. Put your question. And if you're too shy or embarrassed, it's okay. It could be anonymous. Don't put your name. Just put the question. Or if you, like me, probably forgot, you can email us at info@newhope.org. And Pastor Rusty and I will be answering those questions next week. Now, let's continue with our series, I Am Glad You Asked. And before I dive into that question that we are going to do, I want us to read a poem that you will find in Psalms 42. And if you don't have your Bible, you guys can follow me here on the screens. So here we go. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continue to taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walk among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sounds of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distance, Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas of your waves and surging tides sweeping over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing these songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. As we read this poem, we can see that the writer feels sad, discouraged, lonely, maybe depressed, to the point that his enemies are saying, where is this God of yours? He's even thinking this. God, why have you forgotten me? Why? But as we continue reading, we still see that this writer still has hope. He still worships God. He's still singing to the Lord. And he's reminding himself of who God is. Church, how many of you have felt this way before? How many of you have felt broken, sad, discouraged? Maybe you gave your heart to this person who just broke it. Maybe you got a phone call giving you bad news, news that you don't want to hear. Maybe you've been working at this job for so many years and you sweat so many hours, giving your best to it, and then they call you and say, we have to let you go. Maybe you are watching online on YouTube in a different state, different country, hoping to be here with us, and you feel lonely. Or maybe you are new to Virginia, and you miss your family, and you feel lonely as well. And maybe you are wondering in your head, and you hear people saying this, if God is real, why does he seem distant? If God is real, why I don't feel him present here? So church, this morning, we are going to be answering that question. If God is real, Why does he seem distant? So my first point is here. God is not distant. We distance ourselves from him. Our sins keep us away from God. So let me explain this. God is perfect. God is beautiful. God is light. We are not perfect. We are beautiful because he did create us. But we are not perfect. We represent darkness. And God cannot mix with darkness. We see this in Genesis with Adam and Eve sin. What did God do to them? He had to cast them out. But I like to see this in a different point because I want us in a different view. I like what also we can see what Adam and Eve did. This is what they did. When they ate that forbidden fruit, they noticed they were naked. And they hide from God. So when God is searching for Adam and saying, Adam, where are you? Adam and Eve were hiding. And we do that. That's what sin does. We hide from God. We push God away. But the beautiful thing about God is that God gave us a solution so we can be back with the Father, back to that perfect world. And that solution is Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus, we can be with the Father again and be one with him. John 14:6 says this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Only through Jesus, not through how good you are, how much money you have, how wise you are. Only through Jesus, you can come to him. Jesus took the sins of the world. He took them to that cross. And guess what he did there? He defeated sin. He defeated death. And because of that, we can have a relationship with God, whoever believes in him. 1 John 2:2 says this. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of the world. Every sin he took. Not just a few. Every single one of them. So with this, we can say, God is not distant. Our sins distance us from God. But God does indeed provide a solution for that distance. And that solution has a name, and it's Jesus Christ. That's the name of that solution. So with that, if you are not a Christian, you are hearing this for the first time. This is God trying to be present in your life. And you may have to take a step and a decision to believe in him for the first time, confessing your sins and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. But if you are a believer and you've been walking with Christ, you've been walking with God, and you feel that he's distant, I will ask you this question. Maybe there's a sin that is pushing him away that you need to repent of. Maybe there's something there that is not letting God grab your life completely. Maybe it's anger issues. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's that you just don't trust. Sometimes we think that our sins are so bad that we're so embarrassed like Adam and Eve, that we're so shy that I don't think God is going to forgive me. But guess what? God will forgive you. God will do this. He will forgive you. God is present, but sometimes we unpresent him. That's not a word, I know. I created that word. Sometimes we push God away. Church, we are not perfect. Even the most Christian person will still sin. But God is forgiving. God is merciful. God sent Jesus so that we can be with the Father. Look what 1 John 1:9 says. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He will forgive you. So God is not distant. Our sins distance us from God. And maybe today you need to evaluate your life and say to yourself and ask that question, what sin do I have that is pushing God away from me? Now you may say this, well, Yayo, I go to church, I work at church, I volunteer at church, I read the Bible, and when I sin, I confess my sins to God. So why do I still that Why do I still feel that God is not present, that God is not available? Why do I feel that God is silent? Why is that? And that's a valid question. I think every Christian has experienced this at a certain point. In fact, the writer who wrote Psalms 42 felt the same way. God, why have you forgotten me? But there are times when it may seem that God is silent, but God is never silent. And God is giving us the opportunity to search for him, to find him, to see where he's at. He's not silent, but we have to walk by faith. God is involved in our lives. He is there if you're a believer. He's right there beside you. He's there so much that he can count every hair you have on your head. You guys know that he does that? Have you ever tried to count your hair? I did once. I made it to two. Luke 12:7 says this. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. He says, don't be afraid. Church, the issue is that we have is that we are too focused on our problems. We are too focused on our stress. We are too focused in trying to find the solution for that problem that we cannot find or see God because we are lost in those problems. And sometimes you don't want to listen to God because you want God to act at that exact moment. And since he doesn't act at that moment, you start feeling, well, he's not here, he's not available. But that's not true. God is not silent. The issue is that we are in the wrong frequency. All right, so if you ever have a radio station, you have to find that right frequency to hear the right song, the right baseball game, and everything. My grandpa used to listen to the radio station a lot to find baseball games. So sometimes we are in the frequency of our problems, the frequency of our stress, and we have to change that. We have to change that frequency to the frequency of the Bible, the frequency of God, which is his word. And when we change that frequency to God's word, we can hear God's voice when we read the Bible. When we read it, we can start hearing God's voice. God will talk to you, but you need to spend time talking to him. It's a relationship. It's not just a one-way, it's a two-way. Look what 2 Timothy says about God's word. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God used it to prepare and equip his people to do good work. Church, God is with you. He is listening, but we need to be obedient to his word. He is not silent. We need to spend time with him. And therefore, when God seems silent, it may mean that we have stopped listening to him. It may mean that we stop reading the word of God. It may mean that we push the word of God and we are too focused in our problems and we plug our ears with our stress, our anxiety, our feelings that we cannot listen to God anymore. I believe that God will talk in so many ways, in different ways. He'll give you signs. I believe that he'll do different ways to get your attention. But I do believe that when you spend time in the world, in the word, he will talk to you 100% all the time. Only through the word. When I was younger, I remember meeting this person. And I said to myself, oh, this person may be my future wife. And I asked God for signs. So this is the signs that I thought God gave me. Sign number one, the waitress had the same name as that person I like. Sign number two, the billboard had that person's name. Sign number three, the tags of some cars had that person's name. I'm like, this must be a sign. But when I went to the word of God, God told me it's not. And the reason why I know that is because she didn't believe in God. And she didn't want a relationship with God. So God did talk to me. I just kind of ignore it and change the frequency. And sometimes we do that as well. But we need to know that the word of God are the words of life. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than sharpest two-edged sword, cutting it between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." That's what the word of God does. And God will use it to speak to each one of us. So God is never silent. We just have to listen. And I know sometimes it's hard when you're in the middle of that problem. When you have that stress, when you have that issue, it's hard to listen to God's voice. So I want to give you a tool that I use that helps me listen to God's voice when I don't, when I feel that God is quiet. It's not in your notes, so you can write them down. This is what I do. In the middle of the problem, I stop, I grab my Bible, and I find a quiet place. What does that mean? Quiet place is a place where no one's around, just me. It could be a park, could be my car, could be a room, could be Starbucks sometimes. I detach myself from the problem for an hour or two and try to refocus my whole energy back on God and ask God, help me out here. In fact, this is really good in marriage. When you were your spouse and you are about to explode, it's good to pause and say, time out. Let's take a break before I say something I don't want to say. And you back up a little bit, detach yourself, and then you ask God for guidance. God, guide me here. Show me here. Give me wisdom. And then I am always 9.9% asking God this question. God, what are you teaching me here, God? I believe that in every problem and every issue, in every situation, God is trying to teach us something. So we need to ask that question. God, what are you teaching me here? And then we can start hearing God's voice. But this is what Jesus says about his voice. John 10:27 says this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we listen to his voice, and he knows us. So this is a very powerful, powerful verse, because if we don't listen to that voice, we probably don't know Jesus. And that's why it's really important to spend time in the Word of God. God wants to talk to you. God wants to have a relationship with you. So with that being said, God is not distant. God is not silent, and God is available. We saw earlier that our sins distance us from God, but once you believe in God for the first time, once you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have God 24/7. He is available. So that's why I want to tell you, God is available. And this is hard sometimes for us to understand, because we want God to be available in our own way, in our own manners. I want you to come right here, right now, in this way. But God doesn't work that way. Guys, go do it his way, not your way. And we may not understand it. This is what Isaiah 55:8 says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. He's there, maybe not in the way you want him to be there. And sometimes we just want God to take action and to fix our problems. And when he doesn't, we'll say, well, he's not there, he's not available. But that's far from the truth, because God gave us a promise that we inherit from Jesus. It says, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you ask me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So we need to search for God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And I know that sometimes it appears that God wants us to search for him so we can see that promise of him. And when we are in the middle of that problem, when we're in the middle of distress and that issue, we feel that he's not there. And we say, God, why have you abandoned me? Many Christians feel that way. In fact, A.C. Lewis, who is a theologian, says this when he lost his wife with cancer, he asked God for help, but he didn't get a response. So then he said this, what does this mean? And then he said, why is God so helpful during good times but not during bad times? That's a strong believer. He's also doubting. Many Christians feel that way sometimes. But it's important to remember that our feelings don't stop us from finding God. Just because we feel like God is far away doesn't mean he is. This is what Hebrews 13:5 says. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. He is available. But what happens sometimes is that we let our feelings get control of everything that we cannot see God. And let me give you an example. When me and my wife are arguing, sometimes I feel that she don't love me. And I feel sad. But then I had to remind myself, wait a second, time out. She married me. So I know she loves me. We're having a bad moment. So I have to remind myself that she does love me, that she cares for me. Same thing happens here. We cannot let our feelings take over. So we got to figure out and find a way to push our feelings and detach them sometimes. Because if we don't learn how to do that, we will think that God is not there for us. And he is there. He is available. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this. For we live by believing. We live by believing and not by seeing. That's called faith. We need to trust and believe that he's there, even when we don't see him there. God is available. And guess what? His Holy Spirit is in you. When you accepted Christ for the first time, that Holy Spirit came to you. You are not alone. He's there 24/7. Ephesians 1:13 says this, and now you Gentiles, which is all of us, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identifies you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, who he promised long ago. That Spirit is in us when we accept Christ. So that means we are not alone. That means God is not silent. But you may say, but Yayo, why are there times that I feel that he's not there? Can I be honest? And I'm apologizing in advance. Sometimes we feel that God is not there and that he's silent because our hope is in this illusion and not in God. We focus more that the solution, once it gets fixed, God will get peace. And we don't believe that God will give us peace. And that's hard for us to do. With that being said, we focus too much on the solutions that we forget that God is there and we don't see him. And that's hard sometimes for us to hear. That is hard for us to understand. God wants for you to choose him first, not second, not third, not last. He wants him to be the number one in everything you do. And let me tell you something about this. In my 36 years of life, I have learned that after one problem, another problem comes. After that problem gets fixed, another one comes again. So this morning I was saying to the church, I am a 1988 Supra that needs a lot of fixing, okay? That every time something gets fixed, something else happens. The clutch gets messed up. The alternator gets weird. And in life, that's what happens. We are broken people, but here's the beautiful part. God makes you perfect, and God makes you into a 2024 model. That's what he does, okay? I am a 2024 Supra now. I don't run as fast anymore, but I trust God because he makes us perfect. But we have to believe and trust that he will, and not trust in our solutions, but trusting in him. Look what Hebrews 13 says here. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example. And this is my favorite verse of this sermon. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus of this Bible is the same Jesus right now. And he loves you, cares for you, and he's right there in your problems. You just have to trust him. You just have to believe him and not trust in the solution, but trust that he is the solution. That's what you need to do, church. That's what we need to do. Let me tell you a story of a friend. When I was at college, I had a friend that would always come to me. We work in the same church. And she's like, Yayo, when will I find my boyfriend? When will I get married? When will I have kids? And she will always say that to me. And she loved God. She prayed. She worshiped. She worked at the church. And she was always complaining about that. So one day she came to me and she's like, Yayo, why is God silent in this situation? And I was like, I'm going to be honest. You're not going to like it. You are too focused on that relationship that if God gives you that relationship, you are not going to be happy. Because you're putting your hope in that relationship. So what you need to do is put your hope in God and focus on that relationship first. And then you'll see what God will do. She didn't like the answer. We didn't talk for a couple of days. But 3 or 4 years later, she got married, has 3 beautiful kids. And before she got married, she came up to me and she said, Yayo, I did not like what you told me, but you were right. My hope was in that relationship, future husband. And God showed me that I had to focus in him first before he can show me my spouse. And guess what? The spouse was in the church the whole entire time. She just was so lost in finding the right guy that she couldn't see him. And she saw him 3 or 4 years later. Also, church, there will be moments that we will suffer. Suffering is part of life. We live in this broken world. And some of our suffering is because of our own sins. And some of the suffering is because of this broken world. This is what John says about this. I have told you all of this that so that you may have peace in me. This is Jesus saying, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. There is victory already, church. He has overcome the world. And we still can find suffering in our stress. There's still peace in our stress. We still can find peace. That's what I meant. We still can find peace in our problems and our stress. God is available. He's right there with you. He's present. 5 days ago, I saw a friend's post that shocked me. We worked together for many years. And I go read what she posted. Friends, so many are texting and calling. Thank you for your love and prayers. They are life to us. Our precious son died in a car accident yesterday. He was almost home, but Yahweh saw fit to take him finally home. Our hearts are broken, yet we will hold onto our hope. The first time I sang this song, it was a lament for my wandering prodigal. Today I mourn for my child that I long to see before, but I rejoice that he is no longer a wanderer and that he is finally home with the one he loved, longed to know, and now sees face to face. With my love and my sadness, I come before you, Lord. My heart is in 1,000 pieces, maybe even more. Yet I trust this moment you are with me somehow. And you are always being faithful. So, Lord, even now. That's the song that she posts. Seeing that makes me think that life is hard. But seeing her faith, man, just encouraged me that God is real. Who can say that the day after? Only a person that spends time in the Word of God can say that. And I know it's hard when we get those type of news, but God is still present. He's still there. He's still available. Even though she say, I know you're here. I don't know how, but I know you're here. So this Friday, as I was here in the office, my mom called me saying, Yayo, I got bad news for you. Your stepfather's brother just passed away. Elijah just died out of nowhere. Please call Steve. He's not doing too well. I'm rehearsing my sermon. I'm talking about guys not there, guys there, his hope. He's not distant. He's not silent. And I'm like, God, is this message for God, for Steve? So I'll call my stepdad. I call Steve. I'm like, hey, Dad, I'm sorry for your loss. I know it wasn't easy. And he tells me, I know, Yayo, it's hard. I feel numb. That's the word he described. I just feel, no. My grandfather passed last year, which is his dad. So it's been a lot of problems for him. So I told him this. I don't want to preach to you today. I just want to tell you that he's there. That's why he's there. And when you want to talk to me and process what you're going through, I'm here. I know I'm 800 miles away, but we'll make it work. And I make sure that he ate, that he had water. He called me Saturday, and he's like, I'm doing a lot better, but I still feel broken. And I know, I get it. But in your brokenness, there's still hope, and hope has a name, and it's Jesus. I want to read this verse that we read earlier, part of the poem, Psalms 42:11 says this. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I would love for us to read this together at the count of three. One, two, three. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Amen. God is not distant. He is not silent. He is available. And maybe your first step or your next step right now is to accept him for the first time. It's easy. God did all the work. Jesus came, took your sins to the cross where he died, and he didn't stay in the cross. He resurrected, and no power was given to him so that everyone that believes can have everlasting life. And if that's you, I invite you to write in that card. There's a card in front of you. Say, I want to accept Christ for the first time. Well, come talk to me after church, and I can guide you through it. But maybe we've got some believers that feel that God is distant. I want to challenge you with this. Maybe it's time for you to evaluate your life and ask questions. Am I sinning against God? What sins are pushing God away? And only you know that. Only you know those sins. One of my issues that I have this week, and I'm being honest, is pride. And God has been teaching me to stop being prideful. And every day, I tell myself, Lord, it's you, not me. It's you, not me. Less Yayo, more of you. So that's one of my issues. I don't know what's your issue. I don't know what you are going to do. Maybe there is something that is making God distant away from you. Or maybe you're in a situation right now where it's hard, where you feel broken. Maybe you got a call like my stepfather or my friend 5 days ago. Maybe you're in a stress, you're in a situation that you cannot find a way out. Well, your way out is Jesus. You need to trust him. So I want to do something different in the room. This is what we're going to do. I want for you to experience a quiet time with you and God. So what we are going to do, for 1 minute, I want you to talk to God. For 1 minute, I want you just to tell God what you're feeling. If you feel lonely, tell him you feel lonely. Tell him, God, where are you? If you have a situation, be like, God, what are you teaching me here today in this situation? Just spend 1 minute. 1 minute. So with our eyes closed, just talk to God right now. 1 minute. Father, I will put my hope in you. Father, I will praise you every day and every night. Father, you are my Savior. You are my God. Lord, today, we just want to hear your voice. We know you don't abandon us. You know you're right there with us. We know that you are not silent, that you are not distant. We know that you are available. And Lord, I pray for those who may feel that you are distant. I pray that they can search you in your word. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with stress, with an issue, that you can give them the peace that they need, that you can guide them through this and show them what you are teaching them. Lord, I pray for those who are taking that first step of accepting you for the first time. Lord, thank you for who you are, a forgiving Father. You are Abba. You are good. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray and say, amen.